Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of A New Kind of Celebrity. This episode is called Bookmarks and has a different format. We believe that learning and inspiration gets consolidated when we make connections, discuss insights and experiences. So after every 5 episodes, I'd love to have a conversation with a dear friend and discuss the notes that we bookmarked from the different episodes. We'll discuss patterns, aha moments, and things we found interesting. If you haven't heard any episode till now, this is a great place to start and get a quick overview of the insights of the past episodes. Welcome, Kanika, to another episode of Bookmarks. We're back again to discuss our highlights and bookmarks from the last 5 episodes. So, do you want to kick us off? What stood out to you?
Yes, there was Rob in episode 14, who was an absolutely amazing speaker, I would say, an amazing guest. Why? Because many things stood out for me in Rob's episode. The first one being the idea of art being a powerful tool. So Rob, like he said, creates these beautiful magazines for adolescents, which are engaging stories, and they're trying to sort of send out socially conscious messaging to young people through these magazines, right? And I think I have personally not been a student of fine arts. I think I've definitely as a person doubted the idea of art being a powerful tool when I was in school, in my early days of college. Definitely given a much higher pedestal to, you know, economics and statistics and data and things like that. I think over time as an adult, as a person living the world, I think I'm personally experiencing how powerful art can be. So yes, that I thought for me was very, very powerful. I don't know if you had similar thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, slightly different for me. Like, media has always been very, very clear to me on how powerful it can really be, right? And how underutilized it is in creating social change. And probably because my father's from the media and film industry, so that's sort of been something that's more evident. But I think to see a model in action was just amazing. Theoretically, I always know that, okay, the power could be so huge if there are so many followers for XYZ influencer, film star, etc. One thing they say can make a big difference. But to see a model without a celebrity, without an influencer, to create just that story, narrative, the comic book, to make it so relatable. So I think it was very incredible to see like a workable model of media influencing behavior change and how underestimated it is in the sort of quote-unquote development sector, right? It's not something that is looked at as a primary program per se. There are always other initiatives. And then there is communication. But to take communication front and center and say, this is the program, I thought that was pretty incredible.
Yeah. And what also struck me was the belief and the thought and the thinking that they really do behind what they're going to put out. For example, he spoke about, a project where they were trying to explore what will make young people use contraceptives and whether messaging like that in a magazine is going to change youth behavior. And he talks so explicitly and so, I think, vehemently about young people will use contraceptives if they believe in themselves, if they believe that they have a better future, you know?
Yeah.
And so for any problem that you're trying to solve, whether through media or any other means, how do you really get to the core of what will change behavior?
Yeah.
It was so powerful.
Yeah, I have to agree. I feel like that was just one of those light bulb moments to see it unravel, right? And how he tells the story of where they started and where they ended. And it actually reminded me of the last time we were catching up in the second episode of Bookmarks. We discussed a very similar thing that Dr. Bindeshwar Pathak and Teresa Jaroge both brought up, right? About how poverty is the underlying cause for like imprisonment and how like flush toilets can eliminate untouchability. So I feel like I saw that trend as well, that sometimes it's a lot deeper than what's visible at the surface level. And it did make me think about the number of programs or initiatives that are trying to sort of like get at things very directly. So yeah, definitely resonated with that.
I think this thought of like digging deep and going underneath the surface also makes me think of Masuma's episode 15, where she speaks about female genital mutilation and how that experience, like her personal experience, has shaped her journey. I have obviously heard of this issue, but the way she helped a listener, you know, break it down and go under the surface and understand that the issue is about two big things, right? Mm. One, about controlling female autonomy and sexuality, and the other also about an individual's trauma and the scars that it can leave on an individual.
Right.
I thought she broke it down so very well for a listener.
Hmm.
And that issue became more than a statistic for me. That issue became more than a data I knew about.
Yeah, and I think as Masooma Ranalvi spoke, one other thing that sort of just struck me was the power, and I think she calls it out also somewhere in the episode, the power of just being vulnerable and sharing your story and sharing a challenge. Oftentimes when we think of mobilizing people, building a movement, you think of inspiring people, right? How do you sort of motivate people? How do you inspire people? And that's what sort of mobilizes or leads people. And I think here it was really fascinating to see how sharing a personal struggle or a vulnerable moment actually started the spark of building this sort of movement that started after. So I found that really interesting.
And in that episode, one thing that really made me think was about impact, about what does it do when you mobilize people? What does it do when you talk about the issue that she spoke about? In very simple ways, she said, if nothing, this starts a conversation in families where this has happened to women, to young girls, and nobody has ever spoken about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very powerful. I mean, I didn't know how to respond to that. Like, my mind actually, for a second, didn't know how to respond to what she was saying.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you just called out impact. That's something that, as a pattern, sort of, I ask all guests. And normally, when we think about it, you think about in terms of numbers and scale. That's just a little bit of a default sometimes. And while that's also really exciting, right? So it was really exciting to hear Rob Burnett share in episode 14 that 71% of youth in like East Africa sort of use Shujaj comics, right? So while that's incredibly like exciting, I think hearing many stories this time through guests of impact were actually individual changes. So you spoke about what Masooma shared as impact. But if I also go back to a Tiffany Brar episode 16, when she was talking about impact as well, it was those single individual people who joined and say didn't know anything about like technology and now sort of like know the ins and outs of a smartphone and know what sort of RAM they need and things like that. And similarly, when Jean Early in episode 17 spoke about impact, again, it was that one story, right, of somebody who he had deeply influenced and impacted without even realizing. So it's interesting to think about impact and then his point that he makes of, you know, maybe we're all also just not aware of the extent of the impact we really have on people at all times.
So Venal, since you spoke about impact and scale, I want to talk about Rob in episode 14. Where towards the end, when you ask him if he had advice for people, and he says that you should aim for scale and you should be bold. While I do agree that that's great advice for individuals, because sometimes you don't believe that you can do it or you can be a facilitator of impact at scale, it also made me actually think whether that is great advice for a lot of people or not. In my recent work around COVID relief, I'm beginning to see how small organizations who have like very deep roots into villages and small communities where nobody else can reach, where big organizations can never connect, they have been able to do amazing stuff. And they are instrumental right now in saving lives. And sometimes I feel young people also need to hear that you need the small ones also. You need big scale, but you need small ones also. And all of us should not become big corporations wanting to do global stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this bunch was an interesting one, like we were saying, because on one hand, you did have a lot of scale, but on the other hand, it was people individually working with others, one-on-one in all the cases we were discussing. So I think it was a really nice balance here. Though when I'm thinking about scale, I'm also thinking about Shailaja Chandra in episode 13. And I feel the default of being like an IAS officer, there's no choice, right? You have to deal with the scale that it brings in. And hearing her speak about so many of the projects she worked on, and she just spoke about, like, she just mentioned three. I'm sure there were many, but they were literally like your 11 million cataract surgeries, or when she was talking about the shift from diesel buses to CNG. That's the largest sort of like public transport, environmental friendly shift that's happened in the world. So it was really starkly visible that just given the scale of India in general, every good initiative that happens at that level is like larger than multiple countries in the world. So it was something that really stayed with me.
Yeah, Shailaja's episode was very interesting because she was in a very unique position, right? Where most of us will never be, of being accountable for so many million people or wanting to get a project done overnight or having CNG buses across a city. I mean, those are unbelievable sort of stories she had. But one thing that really stood out to me, and I will remember it as an advice maybe or forever in my life, was she in jest talks about the difference between a bureaucrat and a technocrat. And she says, a technocrat might know all the right things, but a bureaucrat needs to learn how to explain it to a minister in the right language and get work done. That is such a reality for everyone in some way or the other in their work. Even if you don't know the technicalities, you need to figure out how to learn the language of getting your work done.
Yeah. To that point, I'm also thinking, you know, it's almost, are we keeping the other person in mind as we're thinking of how to communicate or how to develop something? And it also brings me back to Tiffany Brar in episode 16. And I think as she spoke about the small and big things that all of us can do to make society more accessible for whether it's people with visual impairment or just any sort of like disability, like I was left really thinking that how often is that something very actively on my mind or when I talk to people? And I realized it was something that I also needed to work a lot on. Something as simple as, you know, writing descriptors for the images or making sure the website is sort of designed in a particular way. Yeah, I think there were small and big things that she spoke about, which really made me step back and think about the amount of work that is there to just, I don't want to say empathize, but just be able to acknowledge, include, and sort of like work together.
Yes, I think she almost had like a laundry list of 20 things that we can do, start doing tomorrow, that's going to make our world more accessible to differently abled people, right? And even if we pick up five, I think, you know, we'll be in a much better place. This one example that really shook me was where she relates her own personal struggle of, she's visually impaired, and when she is instructed by someone else to go pick up a jar and she's not able to, someone would probably just pick it up for her and give it to her. Hmm. And she very explicitly says, don't do that.
Right.
Give explicit directions.
Yeah.
That's so simple to do, but oftentimes we don't. We're just impatient to just get it done.
Yeah. Or you think you're helping the person, right? Oh, why put them through the trouble of like figuring out where it is? Let me just sort of give it to them. So sometimes it might be impatient. Sometimes it might be just you think you're actually helping, but maybe you're not because that's not what they want. Yeah, that was really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, she related so many of these anecdotes, right? Where she was made to cross the road when she didn't want to.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. We just assume that the person standing at the side of the road wants to cross.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. And as we're talking about just understanding people, it's also linking me to Gene Early's episode, episode 17, where he talks about just the process of identification and saying, can you actively as a practice identify with certain qualities in an opposite person so that you are more connected, there's less judgment. And I found that just as a practice really interesting. I mean, one is to say, okay, identify with strengths, and then, okay, when people are doing something you don't like, try and identify with that as well, because we all have some element in different degrees inside of us and you just need to like pull that out. What I loved the most was when he said, you know, if there's someone you're upset with or you know, you want to dislike or you're feeling strongly about, think about a positive that you have that sort of resides in them. And that I thought would be such a powerful connection, right? When I see one of my strengths reflected in somebody who I would really enjoy not liking in the moment, it completely like flips the whole thing on its head.
Yeah. In fact, listening to Jean in episode 17 made me feel like I want him as a coach. Very simply, he spoke so much about coaching being about having a conversation and listening to the person and not separating the personal and the professional. That, I think, as an idea is much needed. I think most of us like tend to compartmentalize ourselves into our professional selves and our personal selves. Our lives are into dabbas. I thought just listening to him talk about looking at your own patterns that might come up in your personal or your professional life and thinking through that, you and I know it, right? Everyone knows it, but you want to hear it from someone, and you want to hear it from someone who seems to know how it works. Yeah. That was great. What else stood out for you from Jean's episode, Venil? Because I could see that you and Jean have had conversations before. You can hear it in the episode. You guys right. have a great camaraderie. What else stood out for you?
So many things. I feel if I really have to pick just saying yes, and yes, and instead of no, because just knowing conversations with Jean, it's not a yes, no in a very simplistic way, right? It's like he explains saying yes at a much deeper level, which means acceptance, acknowledging yourself, accepting the other person. So, you know, while it sounds simple, yes, no, and sometimes even confusing, like you can't go around saying yes to everything. But I think just how he talks about it really made me think about what are some things that without realizing I'm saying no to, because I've developed, let's say, certain opinions at work over the years, certain beliefs. Oftentimes, there's an opposing belief. I immediately sort of be like, okay, that's a different opinion and I have a different opinion. In a way, that's sort of saying no to that idea and just not being open in the moment. So, yeah, I felt like there was a lot of unpacking to do on what am I saying no to and yes to without even realizing, and can I at least be more conscious in that, even if I don't end up saying yes and yes and to everything, can I at least take the first step to just be conscious about what I'm saying yes and no to?
You know, since we were talking about Jean and how he spoke about listening to people, it also reminded me of Shailaja from episode 13 in a strange way. Because she also speaks about listening to people as a bureaucrat. There's a very funny line, I think, or where she says that, you know, she would listen to people talk about how they don't get their kerosene from the PDS shop. And she just heard it from many people and realized that there was a policy change that she could do.
Yeah.
And to me, those are small things that an officer can do. Just listen to what people are saying who come to you.
Yeah.
And that can make change.
And to the listen point, actually, when Shailaja also spoke about, you know, I would listen to the phone ringing and then say, who are these people calling if no one's waiting to talk to me, you know? So it's not just like a listen when you're in front of me. It's just like that keen observation that you're realizing that, okay, how come no one's come to me when the phone was ringing so many times? Or when somebody calls then to pick up and say, okay, how many times have you called before that? I thought those were just such simple ways of getting a much deeper pulse, which was quite fascinating.
Yeah. And it was very heartening actually to see her honesty, where she speaks very candidly about not being given work for nine months, of how officers can be in very vulnerable positions and anything can be held against them, and how they are so careful about big decisions because it can have an impact on your career, and post-retirement it can have an impact on you. As a layperson, you tend to think, right, that, oh, these officers, what are they doing sitting in their plush office? But they are probably as vulnerable or sometimes more than you and I are.
Yeah. Like just listening to her, I know one thing that I left in that conversation was just, it is so person dependent from whatever I was hearing. And that is obviously a limited perspective. But it felt like that individual and how they chose to operate makes such a big difference. Going back to the point on listening, though, it was interestingly something that came out very strongly, even in Masooma Ranalvi's episode 15, where the first thing that they decided to do is that each one reach one, right? That each one of them who sort of came together, who had experienced female genital mutilation, decided to sort of find one person, family, friend, brother, to sort of talk to. And a lot of what she was saying was, first, obviously, they shared their story, but then a lot of it was just being there and listening. So it is interesting that just the idea of listening is playing out in so many different ways in these contexts.
So listening actually, Venal, also reminds me of Rob in episode 14, where he narrates the story of listening to one of the boys named Aaron in the community, right? Where he talks about people being on three different teams, team 1, 2, 3. Did that resonate with you?
Yeah, for sure. Basically, that boy Aaron shared that team 1 is sort of group of people who are just bad people doing bad things, right? And he belonged to that group, according to him, at some point. And then he said team 2 is sort of people doing good things, but they're sort of doing it to use you. And team 3 being like a group that's really trying to build together. I think he uses the word tuna jingana, saying that, you know, like we build together, and saying, can we consciously always be in team 3?
That idea of team 3, I think Rob extends it to like organizations making their decisions about where to put their money, what work to do, what choices to make. And that was so powerful, right? Because as development sector organizations, a lot of times, and he was very candid about it, that a lot of times we tend to fall in team 2. Your vision is to do something great, but you're forced to make some choices because, oh, there is a funder commitment. Oh, but we said this in 2020. But in that moment, what's the right thing to do is to be in team 3, and not always the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
So Venal, what aha moments from these 5 episodes for you?
So I think the first one for me I'm going to share is from Shailaja Chandra, episode 13. I think when she spoke about IAS officers absorbing like a sponge, and when they go into a new department, like within a really short span of time, they sort of take in everything to become experts in that space. I think that really stood out to me, just as the capacity of how much all of us can potentially learn and grow. What about you?
There's one from Jean's episode, episode 17. He says, to quote him, humility is the ability to be known for who you really are. I'm not going to explain this, and I think anyone who's listening to this needs to go to the episode to understand why he said that.
Got it. Another one for me from Tiffany Brar, episode 16, was just what she says in the end, and it stuck with me so much that that's what we use as the episode title as well, that diversity is a fact, inclusion is a choice. You know, oftentimes in language, we diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, this DEI is all clubbed together. But actually, diversity is a fact. Inclusion is actually the choice we're making every day. I found that line just so simple, but yet so powerful.
For me, it was the same thing, actually. Interesting that we picked the same thing. One more from Rob, episode 14, where in the end, he says, you should just jump off the cliff and let your wings grow on the way down. Such a powerful image that I have in my mind now. Every time I'm making a difficult choice, I'm going to remember that.
Love it, love it. I think for me, another one stood out from Masuma Ranalvi, episode 15. I think she spoke about at a point using religion for progress. And I found that very fascinating because religion just has a certain connotation, which is, I mean, it's just very controversial, for the lack of a better word, right? Some people who deeply believe in it, some people who feel like it's, you know, the root of evil. And I feel it's so polarizing that I think it was just interesting to hear a perspective of saying, why can't religion also evolve and be used for progress? And I found that really fascinating.
Another really important moment for me in the episode by Masuma, episode 15, was she speaks about forced conversations in families around issues. And the reason why it's so important to me is just like Indian families, we all need forced conversations. None of us can run away from it. So important.
On the note of forced conversations, I feel this has been quite the polar opposite of that. Just like a high energy chat with you about so many different things. I think it's been a super engaging chat.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we had a lot to speak about also because the diversity of guests was amazing, Venal. I really enjoyed listening to each one of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was fantastic talking to them, and I'm excited to come back again with another 5 and chat with you one more time.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you so much.
See you soon then. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Do let us know what you thought about this format. We plan to do a bookmarks episode after every 5 interviews. We'd love to include your questions, reactions, and thoughts into these bookmarks episodes. So do share them with us on any social media platform or via email. And as always, do subscribe and follow our podcast pages on social media or on your podcast listening platforms. Meet you soon. Till then, take care.